Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. We have a great day planned for you, but first let me introduce to you who is here at the table.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Angie Preston.
Michael Erdman.
So a few weeks ago, we had a great message on Thanksgiving and gratitude brought by you, Angie, as we came into that Thanksgiving week. And we want to dig into that a little bit more today. There's some really powerful aspects to Thanksgiving gratitude. But before we go into that, I would just like to have you give us a little bit of a recap and talk to us about what did you want people to walk away with that day? Like, as they went into the Thanksgiving week, what was the key takeaway?
Yeah, I think that despite our circumstance, we can choose joy, we can choose gratitude, and that is not easy. That is a difficult thing. But all throughout the Bible, you see the stories of, from creation, the lack of gratitude. With Adam and Eve, that was one thing that blew my mind. I didn't realize that Adam and Eve were not grateful to God for the beauty and the perfection of his creation. And then moving on throughout the Bible, the psalmists give us really beautiful examples that our gratitude is not always a happy thing. And we can be upset and mad and, you know, yelling, God, why is this? I don't understand. And then the resolve is always thanksgiving in those psalms. And so God can handle all of that. He can handle our joy, our sadness, our anger, our celebration, everything. And just that posture of gratitude translates our action to a way of being, which is thanksgiving. So the tagline that I really, really enjoyed was thanksgiving is gratitude in action. So gratitude are these small movements, these small choices that we make, and that is can translate into a life of thanksgiving. The way that we exude, what we exude, is a life of thanksgiving, and ultimately worship to God. So this was also a message that I will just say it was really difficult for me because I struggle with my attitude of gratitude and often realizing that my negative thought pattern can spiral me downwards. And so making the statement that, you know, mental health is real and depression is real, and also we have a lot of self-imposed depression, but we have one word to describe that. So I kind of touched on that and was pretty emotional for a lot of the sermon, but it was something that was important for me and to say the things that I said, and also I think an impactful thing to be vulnerable and show that, you know, people aren't alone in their struggles. And we also have choice in that. It's not, you know, responding to what's happening to us. We can still choose thanksgiving. And there are story after story after story in the Bible where people choose to be grateful and choose to have an attitude and a posture of joy and thanksgiving despite the circumstance.
So let's go back to your Adam and Eve comment. And what it made me think about is, does thanksgiving and gratitude really even exist if not for opposition and challenges? Because what you mentioned was, you mentioned Adam and Eve, and they lived in this perfect state. So if everything is perfect,
do you even know about gratitude?
Yeah, do you even know about gratitude? Because really, I feel like you have to experience challenges or adversity to even know what good is. To have gratitude for the good, if you've never experienced the bad, how can you have gratitude for good? And so there's something I think really key there, which is maybe that gratitude and thanksgiving is best expressed during challenging times, during adversity, and those sort of elements.
Well, it makes me think of what Chris Hodges says, that time spent in erodes awareness of. So maybe it's not even that the challenging times were there, but we've started taking the things that we should be grateful for granted.
Definitely.
And we've personally removed through rote learning and routine that Thanksgiving is no longer a part of our daily practice.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. is. I think I would argue that really Thanksgiving is really a biblical expression or attribute. And what's interesting is in our modern day, there's less and less of it. It's like it's disappearing from our culture because our culture has this attitude of complacency
or self-sufficiency
or and then anything that goes wrong is overly hyped and given place in one's heart and mind to disable them, so to speak.
Rather than motivating with an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah,
or
and you'd mentioned this. You touched on that, Ange, when we took off in that opening statement that you had, which is some depression is self-created. Can you take us there? Like, talk about that a little bit. What's your observation and opinion on that?
Yeah. So I think I'll just speak from my personal experience. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'll just talk about me. but it's really easy to awfulize. It's easy to blame. It's easy to spiral downward and have, you know, your internal voice be really negative. And those types of focuses can definitely spiral you into a place where, you know, nothing is good or right, or, you know, actually just unable to see the goodness of God in your life.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to just be crazy and say it's a satanic veil over your mind and your eyes to not be able to see how God is working and orchestrating things and to be able to pull yourself out of that. And I think relationship is really key and community is really key. I have people in my life who are totally for me and who can call out the good in my life when I can't see it. And when that is called forth, I can't deny it. I know it's true, but I can't recognize it. And so sometimes I think we need to come alongside one another to celebrate, praise, affirm, but also just provide reality when people can't see that for themselves. And then after exercising that muscle, that becomes stronger and you can see the good things. You can shift the perspective. But when you're so deep in the pit, if you will, your blinders are so, you know, your focus is totally on the negative and you can't even see the miracles that God is just clearly revealing in your life.
Yeah, I do. We could make note here that we know that negative thoughts release negative chemicals
totally.
And essentially keep you in a fight or flight
state,
which is we're wired that way for specific scenarios mm-hmm. where we need to fight or flight.
But when you're continually in that state, it's
yeah.
really, really, really bad.
Absolutely. and we have so many people in the world right now essentially poisoning themselves
yep.
through thought, where on the flip side, it's interesting because science also tells us that when we have gratitude and thanksgiving, well, and we'll use gratitude because I love what you said, that thanksgiving is...
It's the byproduct. So thanksgiving yeah. Is gratitude in action. So
gratitude
it takes gratitude
action.
For Thanksgiving to be manifest or produced.
Yep. And we know that our brain releases dopamine and serotonin, mm-hmm. which are what we call our happy emotions, our happy mood, and those are actually good chemicals mm-hmm. being released in our body. So there's just
Rather
not only is this spiritual,
and, yeah.
there's this really natural aspect to it of we heal our body when we can live in that aspect.
So this poses a question in my mind of when you are in those negative thoughts, when you're in that negative spiral, what generally is going on in your personal life? You're isolated.
Yep.
You shut down. You stop talking to people. You stop reaching out. And you said it. It involves community and mm-hmm. relationship. And Shane, you said it with the culture is more and more diving into a attitude of just negativity and losing Thanksgiving and gratitude. We are an isolated culture. we have all of this connection that actually isn't connection, social media and texting and all of these things that are like fake connection.
Yep.
Right.
But you're actually isolated and you see these fake pictures and you see this glorified perfect life on social media, and all you do is spiral in your negative thoughts, because in reality, you're actually isolated. You're sitting there by yourself looking at all these things, and you become just a single negative unit. And gratitude involves relationship. Gratitude yep. involves being able to get out of that. And I can't get out of that most times without somebody coming beside me and lifting me up out of that pit.
One thing I find really interesting is last week we talked about prayer, right? So, Michael, you said this last week and it just popped into my head, is praying out loud versus praying in our head. Mm. I mean, it's the same thing, is this negative, real, false reality that we have in social media and in our isolation is completely opposite and opposed to how God created us to be in community, to talk with him in that relationship. So I find that that's a really interesting connection that just hit me in my head. I'm yeah. like, oh my gosh.
Well, we can add to that comparison. So what's challenging in our day is all the social media. There's elements of posturing, or mm-hmm. you're displaying your highlight reel. Mm-hmm. And what that causes in us naturally is comparison. And because none of us have the same life and the same story, it's easy for all of our minds to go, I'm not good enough. I don't have the right things. I'm not pretty enough. I want that vehicle. I want this. And then immediately what that is, it's the comparison is the opposite of gratitude,
totally.
Which is ungratefulness. Mm-hmm. So you immediately get into this zone of, I'm ungrateful for what I have. I need more, or I need that, or need them. And we just cycle in that. And it's very, very dangerous. If you really think about it, the globe right now is constantly, it just kind of it's like its new operating system, where humanity is operating under this spirit of comparison, which breeds ungratefulness, which is just dropping these negative chemicals.
I think one other addition I want to make to this it's just clicking in my head is lament. We in our society are not, we grovel, we complain. I mean, we are like expert complainers. I am an expert complainer. But lamenting is different. And I think if we understood how to lament, if I understood how to lament and push into that pain and that discomfort and that bad space, that is where, I mean, look at the Psalms. When you go there, you are able to spin yourself into a space of gratitude and understanding and revelation and transformation, really. And I think when we hit the surface of the negativity and we just hover in that like whiny, complainy, life sucks space and don't really hit the depth of lament, we miss out on what comes from that.
Well, I'm going to throw a wrench in this.
And do it.
Hopefully some people feel called out by this, but there was a study done by Harvard where they showed that like people who had, they asked them questions about what is something that you're thankful for that you've never thanked that person for? And so they identify that, and then they wrote a letter to that person.
I read the study too.
And that's pretty cool. The vast majority of these people found higher levels of happiness, mm-hmm. but they made the connection that generally children and adolescents, but people who chose to live in negativity and their happiness was not affected by this, generally pointed to signs of emotion, like emotional immaturity. So like sometimes we do need to have those corrective experiences mm-hmm. with people who help you to remind what to be thankful for. But sometimes we just need to grow the heck up.
Totally.
Grow the heck up and realize that not everything is promised to you.
Mm-hmm.
And not only will you experience your own emotions at a deeper level, but you'll begin to be thankful for the people and the circumstances around you.
Yeah.
It reminds me, as you were talking, I was just thinking about how in society, more is not always better. And we live, for us, in a society of a lot in the Western culture. We have so many things, and some of the most grateful and healthy societies I've been in were in poor third world areas where they literally have nothing, and yet they're full of joy, mm-hmm. and they're just beaming with light. And it's because they live this life of gratitude, and they trust the Lord for literally their provision every day, and they get to see His hand of provision. And it's such an incredible experience to see that. And then you come back to the U.S. and you go, man, we're a bunch of spoiled brats, and we're so ungrateful. And
life of entitlement.
Of entitlement. And it's just crazy how the flip of that, and how these people can live with literally nothing. They're going to the bathroom in a hole in the dirt, and they barely have water, you know, things like this. And they're living life to the fullest. And I can't tell you how many like short-term mission trips I've taken people on, and everybody just goes like, I want to go back, because my life, I was more whole, healed, full of joy and content with nothing than I am with everything.
Like, are they the mission or am I the mission?
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. And that's what ends up happening is like, yeah, it's crazy.
And living a simple life. That's what we're called to do. We're called to live a simple life. In the seasons of my life where I've had barely any technology, you know, literally like I think it was $200 a month that I had, and we just ate vegetables from the farm, and our neighbor was kind and gave us eggs that gave us some protein. That's like literally all we had, and it was the best summer of my life. Like, things were so simple. And if we overcomplicate things and we get stuck in all of the details and all the bells and whistles.
Well,
I don't know.
Here, so this ties into another biblical principle is we're comparing to what others have. We're jealous of mm-hmm. other lifestyles or other material possessions. What is one of the commandments that God says not to do?
Covet.
You shall not covet. You don't desire what your neighbor
have.
Has
yep, totally.
So much that it's all you can think of. And that's all we do. Consumerism is an American pastime at this point. And all we want to do is have what others have.
Yeah, and
how can you be happy
coveting.
That way?
Totally.
Like, that's the thing about what God said in the law. It wasn't, oh, I'm just going to squash your fun. It's, this is going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we could for a second, let's go back what you're talking about, verbal prayer, because verbal prayer and thanksgiving is really powerful. And I have a couple notes here that hopefully I can communicate clearly, but we know that the brain is significantly affected by verbal and extended prayer. So this is literally out loud praying to the Lord specifically. And they've done studies on this where they've monitored the brain in prayer and thanksgiving. And it mainly affects the, and I'm going to probably botch some of these words, but the hypothalamus mm-hmm. has a direct regulation of four major systems of the body, mainly the pituitary gland and all target endocrine, is that right?
Yep.
Glands. And then the total immune system, the entire autonomic system, and the production of the brain hormones called endorphins and enkephalins, which are chemicals of the body, and they produce and are 100 to 200 times more powerful than morphine. So when you, in summary, I'll just read this. In summary, a very significant percentage of the central nervous system is directly and indirectly activated in the process of extended verbal and musical prayer, by the way, that was in there too, over a period of time. This results in a significant release of brain hormones, which in turn increases the body's general immunity. It is further enhanced through joyful laughter with increased respirations and oxygen intake to the brain, diaphragm, and other muscles. The same phenomenon is seen in physical activity in general. So this is why people often say, you know, hey, you should be exercising. If you're feeling down, exercise. But really what we're getting at, when you mix prayer and thanksgiving and all these things, God has created us in such a special way that when we activate these things when we choose to do them. That's the other part is you have to...
That's thankfulness, an active choice. It's active.
Yeah, exactly. You have to choose to be thankful.
Yep.
Even when you don't feel it, you choose it, and then it can actually make you feel thankful.
Totally.
And
that's where that in all
over.
Things is important.
Yeah.
When life is dumpy, be thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what we were talking about. Like, you know what good feels like. So when everything is good, we often don't think about being thankful. And then when things are bad, we also don't think about being thankful. We think about being ungrateful.
Help me.
But
help me
what would happen if we activated more often our gratitude in both the good and the bad? This goes back to what your message was. And how not only is God worthy of it, it is an act of worship.
Totally.
I love how God says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So like one of the primary ways to approach God is through thanksgiving. And I think that tells us a lot. That's a significant statement.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've said multiple times where there's been moments of worship or on some of these mission trips you've been on where the only word you said was hallelujah.
Right.
And hallelujah is such a powerful word.
Yep.
All praise to God, you know, praise be to the Lord. There's times in my life when all I can do is just say hallelujah, even if I don't feel it, because it's not dependent on me. He's good.
Absolutely.
And I can just sit in that and it lifts my spirit and doesn't fix everything. But you know what? I'm always reminded when we talk about these things of what Paul writes in Philippians and how he can be content in all things. You know, hungry or full, clothed or not, in plenty or in want. Well, all these things, and he's writing these letters most time from prison, from being locked up by choice to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
And he's excited about, he's literally giving thanks. He's like, there's an aspect of the early disciples where they're just like, we're being persecuted.
Yeah. Put me in jail. Let's do
like,
this.
That's how we know we're doing
worthy.
This right.
We're worthy to be counted part of his mission. And well, I don't want anybody to even talk badly about me.
Right. Well, and this goes to some other aspects, which is comfort. What you're talking about is we're so often hyper-focused on being comfortable, and that's not really the way we're wired to be. We're kind of wired to enjoy moments of comfort, but humans need tension and opposition and other things to really learn and grow.
And for survival.
Yeah, for survival and learn and to move forward, to go beyond where we are. I was thinking about... as you were talking about, I think you mentioned Philippians, and there's in Philippians 4:6, I love this verse, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And I was thinking about that word anxious and how much in our society right now do we tie depression and anxiety? It's like, well, I suffer from these two things. And when you really break down, I know in my own life, when I am feeling depressed and anxious, it usually is tied to my allowing my mind to spin off in what ifs. What if this happens? Mm-hmm. What if this happens? What if this happens? Which are ultimately lies because they haven't happened.
Yeah.
And most of the time they're not even tied in reality. And so
they're in your head.
And so what that means is I'm not actually trusting that who the Lord is, that he's with me, that he is taking care of me, that my life is tied to him, that he has empowerment in my life, all these things. And so if I don't have that thanksgiving and that trust, of course anxiety and those lies from the enemy and spinning out would happen because I lose my focus. I actually tie this to Peter walking on the waves, right? Like what did he need to do? Well, he's got to keep his gaze fixed on Jesus. It's like, well, look at Jesus, not at the waves, because we all have waves, but move forward towards Jesus. But meanwhile, Peter, he looks around and is like, oh man, the waves. And he starts to sink. And it's just that it's another kind of type of example of how we can be affected by things around us.
Well, in your the verse there that you read in Philippians, the last part of that is, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's, what is peace from God? It's not a lack of conflict. It's not a lack of hardships on this earth. It's the ability to be content in all things, to be able to walk through it, knowing he is there for you, yeah. letting you walk on the water, as it were. He is there, and you're able to walk through this without the anxiousness, without the negativity, this is hard. And I'm able to walk through it in peace because my God is giving me strength.
Both things are true at the same time.
Yeah, you made me think of Psalm 23 when you were talking about that, because there's a portion where it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Mm. And it's like the enemies are around, and that table is representing peace. It's representing connection and community and gathering, and it's sitting down together. And it's like most often the peace can and will come if you allow it in the midst of the turmoil, mm-hmm. in the midst of the storm. And I think of Jesus using the same boat example as like, well, he was taking a nap at one point in the front of the storm, and they're freaking out. And like, it just gives you that picture of like Jesus is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And so, you know, really he is our source of anything that will bring us peace in the turmoil we feel in this world, but it goes back to a heart of gratitude.
Well, I hear, I can hear the questions some of the listeners might be thinking of like, well, you talk about the where and when and what my posture should be in giving thanks, but like, how do I actually do that? What are some practical steps of how Thanksgiving manifests in our daily life?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, it goes back to verbal. I have to speak it out. I'll give you a really stupid example for myself, because for those of you that know me, know that I like cars, vehicles. And so I often, running in the back of my mind is the need to buy a new vehicle. Like I want so bad. I'm like, I want this. I saw this today. It was really cool. I want one of those. And I can really easily, through that comparison trap, go like, oh, my truck, I don't like it anymore. It stinks. I don't want to drive it anymore. I want to get a new one, you know? And then my antidote for that is when I get in my truck going, God, I am so thankful for this. You've provided for me. I'm so grateful that I have this. And it's amazing how just verbalizing that on a regular basis
shifts things.
It breaks the stronghold that the ungratefulness has over me. And then I end up going like, I do like this truck. This is a really, like, it reminds me, those blinders, you kind of mentioned that, mm-hmm. that kind of satanic veil that tries to like fall over our face and blind us from the truth. It's a weapon against that.
Absolutely.
So that's just a really silly practical example for me.
Do any of you like write down what you're thankful for? That's never been like a useful exercise for me, but I'm curious if any of you have done that and what difference it's made.
Sometimes, you know, I'm not a great journaler, I guess would be the right word. But there have been times in my life where getting it out on a piece of paper helps me to see it and get it out of my head. That was kind of my first step in the realization that the vocalizing or making it a reality, whether on paper or with my mouth, is actually a powerful tool to get it out of my head. And one of the biggest things that I've realized in my life in order to apply Thanksgiving or gratitude is choosing to, because God's not going to just give me this, you know, euphoric feeling of gratitude in the midst of chaos. It's a choice I have to make.
It's a discipline, and it's a
growth step that I've really worked on over the last 5 years of, okay, my mind is naturally inclined to negativity,
mm-hmm.
and I have to choose to grab onto something else, or it'll spiral into a movie, as it were, in my head of a horror flick. It's awful, but I can choose to let that go crazy, or I can choose to grab on to things that God is and has done for me, and just the simple fact that he is with me and able to transform my mind and willing to do that if I choose to let him do it.
You know what? Really quick, and I know, Angie, you want to jump in here. You made me think of something, too, is this has happened often recently where I just be worshiping the Lord, having my personal prayer time, and I'm just like, Lord, thank you so much. And then I keep getting this prompting, like, what are you thankful for? Like, literally tell me. And then I'm like thanking him, and I realize how I'm fumbling like a toddler that can't talk. Like, I have a hard time describing exactly the things that I'm thankful for. And so to add to that, what I've also started trying to do is find things I'm thankful for in the areas that I have challenge right now or with the people that I have challenge right now. So if I'm feeling a challenge in a relationship, thanking the Lord for that person and finding things in them and about our relationship that I am thankful for. You know what surprised me is how bad I am at giving thanks. Like, I had a really hard time going, I'm thankful for. The Lord's like, yeah, tell me, what are you thankful for? And I'm like, dear Jesus, I'm thankful that I have food on the table. And then I realize, like, man, I got to get into this thanks thing, because I know I'm thankful for way more than that, but I'm really having a hard time saying what it is. But Ange, go ahead. I know you were about to say something.
I love writing letters to people, and it's in recent years morphed to shooting random text messages to people, because my art of letter writing has hit a pause in being a mom. So text messages are working. But one of my favorite things in high school and in college is I would send people letters of how they impacted me. And it's actually something that when people graduate from high school, I've started doing this envelope system. And so I have 3 stamped envelopes and a prompt to write 3 letters to somebody who's impacted their life. Just whenever they're, you know, sitting in their dorm room or whatever. But it's impactful for me as the person writing that letter, because I'm recalling the good that someone has done in my life and the impact that one small thing has done, but also hearing how, like, oh my gosh, I don't even remember saying that, or I don't even remember, you know, doing that or whatever, is a prompt for me to think, the things that I discount and are insignificant to me are life-changing to other people. And so when we can authentically show up as us, we're blessing others. And so I think that's another piece of gratitude that we miss out on, is God has wired us uniquely. And if we can authentically be ourselves, we are a blessing to others, and we are glorifying God through, you know, through our existence. And let that be a motivation to serve him by serving others. And I don't know, the do-goods in the world, the random acts of kindness. I had a birthday party one time. Sorry, this is random. But I charged all of my friends to just show up and do random acts of kindness. And it was so fun to see what everybody did and how that just like totally infected our town. And it's just kind of stupid, but it's also really, really fun, because it does something inside of you when you do good things and when you're grateful and when you're kind. It changes the way that you
So let's lean into that just for a quick second, because I feel like living a life of thanksgiving allows you to be that person.
Yeah.
So if you have this attitude of gratitude, you're going to be way more likely
apt to
have acts of kindness and treat people with kindness. And that's a huge, and like you said, it spreads.
It's infectious.
It is infectious, and that kind of
so
pay
is
it
negativity,
forward.
Totally.
Yeah, and think about if the world is walking in negativity right now, what could happen on the flip side?
Yeah, I really appreciated that you brought that up, Angie, because sometimes having the attitude produces like the thankful practices. And there's just the cool. So like sometimes the thoughts follow the actions, mm-hmm. but then sometimes the actions follow the thoughts. And yep. so when you practice the attitude, the actions will come. Sometimes people just have to do the things to be thankful.
Yep. But and then again, it's a choice.
But then you make the choice of just having a thankful heart, and those thankful practices come out of it.
I think you said something that stood out to me, and I don't know if you meant it this way, but It was coming out of your heart. It was you being you. Yep. And that's vulnerability. That's yep. letting you out of the box and saying, I'm going to show up. And that's also another thing that we don't allow with comparison, mm-hmm. with jealousy, with wanting what somebody else has, because I'm focused on them rather than me. And I don't even know who I am. Mm-hmm. And so I can't be grateful if I'm trying to be somebody else. Yeah. Or I can't be grateful if I'm trying to do it like someone else.
And also, God can't be glorified when we're trying to do us through somebody else's lens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have to be me. I have to show up. Yep. And, you know, Jacob, you do such an awesome job showing up and doing these things for people that I never would think of, because yeah. that's you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want to, I don't know, make a 7-course meal for somebody and be like, hey, dude, enjoy this. Whatever. You do these things naturally because that's you, and you let yourself show up. And that's how gratitude comes out, I think, because you have to be you. You have to be who God made you.
Yep.
Can we go here for a second, which is when you're not a thankful person, I don't think you have a very good ability to also receive thanks. Mm, yeah. So I don't know, and I've struggled with this, is like when receiving thanks and gratitude from somebody else for things that you have done, whatever that is doesn't work good in me, but
it
I know
feels bad.
Yeah, it feels weird, but I know that when I am living better a life of gratitude, I'm more able to receive. But does anybody ever see that or feel that?
Absolutely.
Or like,
I think that's that veil. I mean, I just really feel like you can't even see, you can't receive, you can't acknowledge, you can't see the positive things. And that, I mean, that's a stronghold. That's insane. And when your eyes are able to see God's goodness and blessing others, you're able to receive that because you're exuding that. That is vibrantly alive in your life. And that, I mean, this is like super convicting to me. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy because, like, I'll use a real practical example is, I like to do things well with excellence. And so if I do something and it blesses somebody and then they say, thank you, all I can see is the negative, that what I didn't do well. Mm-hmm. And I can beat myself up or be extra critical. And I think the antidote to that is, at least part of it, is me needing to better live a life of gratitude. So I'm not overly self-critical, because if I'm self-critical, I'm going to be critical of others too. Mm-hmm. And so, it's a really interesting, it's much more complex than we even know or understand, but wow. Like I, and it's sad because when I'm thankful for something somebody else does, I really want them to receive my gratitude, you know, but, right. and I can't force them to do that. But if I say, you know, thank you. But unfortunately, if they're not healthy to receive it, that's a bummer, because...
And thanking someone is showing love. I mean, right. that's love. That's wrapping somebody up with an embrace and showing your unique stamp of
yeah.
loving them and expressing that love through acts of service or whatever.
Would it be if I say thank you to you, Angie, and then you immediately internalize that as, but I didn't do this right, yep. and I screwed up here, and I like, oh man, that sucks, because I want you to know how thankful I am, mm-hmm. right? And so, wow, that's a whole nother interesting aspect to thankfulness and gratitude.
So I was looking up some of this, trying to find statistics on gratitude, but I found this paper, and there's something that is stated that really relates to what you guys were just saying. And it's stated by Melanie Klein. She says, gratitude can mitigate loneliness because it deeply includes a very close connection between being able to accept and to give. and both are part of the relation with the good object. Indeed, loneliness relates to a deficiency of the needs of intimacy and meaning. Expressing gratitude thus plays an important role in relationships because it can strengthen social bonds and friendships, as well as the characteristics needed for their development and maintenance, such as family and social support, pro-social motivation, relationship connection and satisfaction, willingness to forgive, praise, and trust.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what you just touched on is the reality that thanks, just by having thanks, and acknowledges that you can't do it on your own, that you need thanksgiving. Actually is saying, be it to God or to others, is saying, I was unable, it's humility, I was unable to be completely self-sufficient, and I require others' help or connection or whatever word you want to use there. Mm-hmm. It's literally saying, I can't do it, I need people.
I need people, I need God, I need all of it. And this goes back to culture. We are so overwhelmed with a self-sufficient, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and get the job done, that we can't see anybody beside us or even accept the helping hand.
Yep. And it takes vulnerability, and that vulnerability creates an intimacy between whoever. When you're able to express gratitude to someone, your level of intimacy is increased.
Yeah, you're holding on to that connection. Yeah. Like, we're building connection with each other. Where if you think of the opposite, is if you're ungrateful, you are severing connection.
Totally. And thinking about social media again, what do you know? Of like, that's such a false thing. So what our children are growing up with is a false sense of gratitude and a false sense of intimacy.
Yeah.
That is sad.
It is sad. And it's overwhelming. I don't think we're going to really understand the
long-term
damage that has happened to society until the coming years. I mean, we see aspects of it, but some recently have said it's like our generation's smoking, like back when they said smoking was good and all the doctors were saying it was good, and then they realized it was killing people. I think it's going to be much more significantly bad than smoking was. I get what they're trying to say, but we don't even know the depths of media, essentially, media's effect of our culture.
Our vision, our emotions, all of
these things. Yeah, we're just not really, we weren't made for that. Like, the human, God didn't make us for those things, but... I was thinking about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's written in the closing benediction, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And then it says this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I think it's so critical. That's such a, you know, people always like want to know the will of God. Well, there is a lot in the scripture about understanding the will of God, and this is one of them. So God's will for you in Christ Jesus is that you would, this is a choice, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Yeah. And that is a spiritual discipline. It's a practice. It's something you have to do. It's verbal. It's a choice, and that's the thing that we struggle with in our world is like, I don't feel like, and then
it's
fill in
discipline.
The blank.
And going back to your point, Jacob, of how can we be rooted in that? Like, what are the practical steps? And one of them is to be rooted in the words. Yeah. To be rooted in the word. And if we are not in the word, and if we are not verbally speaking to God and having that interaction, where are our roots? It's in our self-narrative, and that's really, really key and in relationship.
I think of another verse where it talks about take every thought captive. I think that's another practical one where when your mind begins to spin with comparison and ungratefulness, there is an aspect, another spiritual discipline, another thing that you have to choose to do, which is literally see that thought, address it, grab it, and kind of like throw it out, so to speak, and be like, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to let the negativity spin out. I'm going to essentially proclaim and prophesy hope and truth and love and thanksgiving and these godly things in place of that.
Well, and that's, you know, I think Paul wrote that, take every thought captive, but he also writes, and it's in Philippians again, it's in this whole section of what to think about. So instead of just saying, I'm not going there, it's replacing it with whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Mm-hmm. It's replacing the negative with the truth. And it's a choice and a taking of every thought captive, saying, I'm not going to let that run in my head.
Yep. Who is God and who does he say I am? I think those two things are really important. To proclaim over yourself and to remember that keeps you grounded in understanding who he is and who he says you are.
That's good, guys. Let's wrap it up with that. And Jacob, would you pray over us and those listening right now?
Yeah. God, we just want to thank you first for who you are and the blessing of life, the blessing of your word, the blessing of this world, the blessing of the provision you provide for us. And Lord, for us in this room and everyone listening, Lord, would you produce a spirit of thankfulness leading to good works. Lord, we trust you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.